good afternoon. Yes, sir. Good afternoon. Can you hear me okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
Before we get started, what is your name?
Randy Cartwright.
Okay, hold on a moment, Mr. Cartwright. We need to make one phone call and then we'll be ready to move forward, sir.
The number that does not accept solicitations. If you are a solicitor, please add this number to your do not call list and hang up now. Otherwise, please press 1 or stay on the line. Thank you. Please hold. The number you are calling does not accept unidentified calls. If you are a solicitor, please hang up now. To automatically unblock your name and number for this call only and complete the call, press 1. To enter the telephone number,
good afternoon. This is the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. It's our understanding that you wish to participate in the hearing for Mr. Cartwright this afternoon. Am I correct?
That's correct.
Well, you just hold on. We will call on you at the appropriate time. We're just now getting ready to begin this hearing. So thank you so very much for being available.
You're welcome.
This time we will begin the hearing. Okay, Mr. Cartwright, we're back to you, sir. Would you be kind enough to give your name and your ADC number for the record this time, sir?
Randy Cartwright,
056237. Thank you, Mr. Cartwright. You appear for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for your prolonged hearing, and according to information that we have, the Department of Corrections has certified you for a 412B-411 hearing. That is to move you to the next consecutive sentence of absolute discharge. Is that your understanding, sir?
Yes, sir.
And that means that regardless what the board does today, you will not be released. What we show is that you're currently serving a sentence for murder in the first degree that had its beginning on December 9, 1984, and you became parole eligible on August the 31st, 2011. Is that correct, sir?
I'm not sure, but it sounds so.
Okay, sir. Just want to make sure if you hear something that I say that's not correct, please just correct me, sir, because sometimes we don't have correct information. I would like to take this opportunity to introduce you, as you promised, met them before, to introduce you to the members of the board who are participating in your hearing this afternoon. They are the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, the Honorable Mr. David Neal, the Honorable Mr. Lee Kowalis, and my name is C.T. Wright. I'm going to serve as your lead as well as board chair this afternoon, sir. Sir, if you move to your next consecutive sentence, then you will be moved to a sentence for burglary in the first degree. And that's a 21-year sentence. And then you will be moved later to sexual assault, and that's also a 21-year sentence. Based on information that I observed that over the years you had several disciplines. In fact, you had about 42 disciplines, and 21 of those have been majors, and the last discipline that I observed looking at Ames was back in April 8th of 2013, and then another one was in January 7th, 2013. Have you had any disciplines since then, sir?
No, sir.
So what happened? You seem to be improving. You used to have disciplines, and now you're not having any. None since 2013, so why are you improving, sir?
Why am I improving?
No, how are you improving? Not having any disciplines recently since 2013. Yes, sir. So what's
going on? I grew up and get used to being in prison, sir.
Oh, you've grown up and got used to being there. Okay, well, we commend you for that. That's my way of commending you for not having any disciplines just recently, sir. I also take note that you did appear before this board back on February the 2018 of the year or so ago from now, and at that time you were denied, and you appeared before this board 8 times, just for the record. I'm going to be very brief because all board members have had an opportunity to speak with you in the past, so I'm not going through a whole lot of details, and board members might have some extra questions that they may want to raise with you, but what we're going to do this afternoon, you do have at least one, I'm aware of one, a supporter in the room. We do have a victim on the phone, and we do have someone from the county attorney's office. We're going to begin by just talking with you for a few moments. That will be followed by talking to your supporter, and that will be followed by the victims and the county attorney, and then you will have the last word to make a final statement to the board. Do you understand that, sir?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I think you know by now that we always start with the offense itself, and of course, your offense took place back in December the 8th, 1984, when you went to this victim's house. She was about 20 years of age, and according to the information we have, that you raped her and then you murdered her, but initially you denied that you had participated in that offense. Now, do you still plead innocent or say that it's innocent, or have you changed your mind since 1984, sir? Which one is it? Have you changed your mind since 84, or do man you said that you are guilty, sir? Which one, sir?
Yes, sir. Meaning yes.
Meaning yes, that you did commit the offense?
Yes, sir, I'm responsible for the crime, yes.
Okay, sir. And did you know the victim at that time, sir, or this was just, you just walked by and did it? Were you familiar with the victim, sir?
No, sir.
Why did you stop at that particular residence, sir, that apartment, sir? How did you select that one, sir?
I have no idea.
And were you on drugs, or were you on alcohol, anything of that nature when this happened?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Which one? Alcohol or drugs, or both? And
All of the above.
All of the above. Okay. How long have you been on alcohol, sir, or drugs that day, sir? Has that been something going on all day, or it just happened that night? Because I think it took place about 4 a.m. So how long have you been on these illegal substances, sir?
I'm taking all day.
All day. Okay.
Yeah.
I think I know the answer that you're going to give me, but I'm going to ask it anyway, that you thought about committing this type of offense before, you know, I mean, this was your first time thinking of going to someone's home and raping them and eventually committing murder. Is this your first time thinking that way, sir?
I think so.
Okay. And what?
To answer your question, I gave no thought to that.
No, you didn't know.
I can't remember.
Oh, you cannot. So it was just happened that morning. It just happened, and so you were it did happen, and but you have no fault in the past. Had anything happened to you in your family before, the reason, or your community, why you might have done that? You know, some who come before this board, you know, say that they've been abused when they were young or whatever. Have you had anything like that in your lifetime, sir?
No, sir.
Okay, so this was just something that just happened, and so there's no reason or rhyme, as they say, that it did happen. Well, I'm going to move forward. As I say, other board members might want to go into details, but I'm going to move forward. Now, since you've been incarcerated, now, some questions I ask, and some people don't realize this. I know the answers to some questions I ask, but I ask them anyway, and some people think we're dumb because we ask because of what we already know, which I might be dumb for doing it. But have you had any sexual abuse training, sir? Have you had any of those programs since you've been incarcerated, sir?
Not available.
Okay, so that means that you've not had any at all. Well, since you've not had any, I'm still going to ask the question I want to ask. Have you given any thought to what triggered you to do that? Have you thought about it at all? Although you've not taken the program yet, have you thought about now, what was I really doing? Why did I do this? Have you given any thought to that, sir?
Yes.
And what did you conclude, sir?
Apparently, I
had some issues and some insecurities
that came out in this situation.
And what were they? Can you share some of them with the board, sir?
I could think. I figure, you know, being a young father, and a lot of pressures starting to be realized and feeling inadequate, figured those were the basis.
You say you were a young father. How old was your child at that time, sir?
I was 20 and I had 3 kids.
You had 3 kids, and the oldest one, how old was that when you got that mother pregnant, sir?
2 years.
2 years. So you were about 18 at the time that you the first one came, the birth baby came, sir? Somewhere in that neighborhood?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And did you have a job at that time, sir, at the time this offense was made, took place?
No, sir.
Okay. Had you been employed before this, sir?
Yes, sir.
But what, you had gotten fired or you just quit, or what happened, sir?
Quit.
Okay.
I quit.
Okay, sir. Well, I appreciate your honesty, sir. I don't understand it, but I do appreciate it. Now, I do show that you did have a criminal past, and I'm not going over all of it, and I'm not going over any of it. I'm just going to point out the fact. Based on what I see, between 1975 and 1980, as a youth, juvenile, I should say, you had been involved. I won't say committed. You had been involved, that is, accused or guilty, I'm not saying which, of 11 crimes up to, during that short period of time. And from 83 to 84, there were only 3 that we saw. So what was happening when you were juveniles? Why were you committing or being involved? Let me use the word. I won't say you were committed. I won't say that you were guilty. But why were you being involved in so much criminal activity as a young person between 1975 and 1980, sir? What was going on in your life, sir?
That was the culture I lived in. That was the kind of neighborhood I came from.
Okay, we hear that quite often, sir. Most of us, not all of us, but most of us come from those neighborhoods. But you know, I mean, I know I'm much younger than you are, but most of us just don't do that. I mean, I know about those neighborhoods. I know about, as they used to call them, the hood. I don't know what they call them these days. And, you know, we all come from that. But it must have been something that triggered. Were you frightened? Were you a member of a gang? Or what really?
No, no member of a gang. They called my neighborhood the kitchen.
Well, the kitchen.
Officers did.
And what did
they say? Something was always cooking in the kitchen.
Okay. What did they mean by the kitchen?
Culture I grew up in.
See, I don't know the kitchen. That's a new one. I'm going to say, what was going on, cooking drugs or people were just cooking? What was going on in the kitchen? Why do they call it the kitchen, sir?
Everything. Burglary, drug selling, prostitution, all of these things.
Okay, and so you got tied up in all of those as well.
No, I'm not saying that I was caught up in them, sir. I'm saying I was exposed to them.
Okay.
Having knowledge of them, being aware of them.
Okay. I'm going to move forward because for time consideration. Now, what, just look at me in the eye, you don't have to look me in the eye, but if you're looking me in the eye at this particular moment, what would you tell me why I should vote to release, to move you to your next consecutive sentence, sir? Why should I even consider doing that in view of the crime and in view of everything else? Why would you think I should do that, sir?
Well, it's hard to explain, but this is the way I see it. We all, everybody involved in this, on both sides, and you can be hearing members understand that this is a tragedy. There's nothing I can do to change that. It happened, and we come here for the last 8 years, we talk about the pain, the loss, and the punishment because of it. But there have been a lot of lessons, and to a certain extent, to a big extent, as far as I'm concerned, I have exposed myself to a lot of rehabilitation. Nobody understands the pain and the loss and the hurt more than me and the Donald's family, but then there's my family too. I'm not without pain from the realities involved either. only matured and worked to become a better person and realize and think about how I treat and affect others. Every day around this place, I see all the negatives. But I fight not to become part of them. So I've changed in that way. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. And I've spent a lot of time trying to get closer to my family. So a lot of things have changed inside me. You might not see them. They might not be apparent on the disciplinary records. But I spend most of my time trying to be positive in here around negative situations. And that's all I can do. Like I said, I can't give back what I've taken. And I do regret that. But I also feel that an apology or saying I'm sorry to the Thomas family is that's baseless. It has no meaning because, as I told you before in one of these meetings, was it a member of my family I would never be able to forget it. So I understand where they come from. But you as a committee hearing member, all I can tell you is I do realize, I do regret.
And I really appreciate your honesty, sir. Thank you so very much for being honest and opening up to the board. I think you opened up a little more than you did in the past, sir, and I really appreciate it. Let me just ask just a couple other questions of another board members. You mentioned your family. Who is your immediate family and supporters at this time, sir, that when you say your family?
My mother and my three sisters. Okay. Then I have three daughters and an aunt. So in other words, a whole bunch of women.
Sure. Now you mentioned earlier that when you committed this crime that you were a young father at that time, about 20, and you'd gotten someone pregnant, I think, about when you were about 17, 18 years of age. Do you still have a relationship with any of those kids? I guess those would be girls. Do you have any relationship with those at this time, sir?
Yes. Okay. All my daughters.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that as well, sir. Now, I take note that I know this is not applicable for this hearing today, but you indicated, I believe, and I may be wrong here, that whenever you get out, you will be living at 5601 South Vista Grande here in Phoenix. Whose residence is that, sir?
My mother's.
Okay, so you will be staying with your mother. Okay. Okay, so I'm going to yield to other board members at this point. I have some more questions, but we must move on. I'm going to let other board members ask some questions at this time. Board members, questions for Mr. Cartwright? I don't see any at this particular moment. They may come back some just a little later. Do take note. Now, who's here to support Mr. Cartwright? I had a piece of paper here. Who's here? Anybody still in the room? I guess they must have left, sir. We had someone here this morning. I don't see anyone at the moment. Once again, I'd like to ask three times, second time, anyone in the room supporting Mr. Cartwright? Twice, anyone in the room supporting Mr. Cartwright? No one is in the room at this particular moment, so I'm going to move on. So I'm going to move on to the victim's side of the house, and we do have the county attorney here, but we have someone on the phone. Should we go to the phone first? Okay. Who's on the phone at this moment, please?
My name's Elaine Stamos.
Would you like to tell the board? And welcome to the board this afternoon now.
Thank you. I'm the victim's mother, Paula, and I'm representing her grandchildren, her daughter, her sister, and myself. Basically, Cartwright took away the opportunity of my great-grandsons to ever meet the lovely person that was their grandmother. They'll never see her smile. They'll never feel the pride and the love that she would have heaped on them because he took Cartwright, took that all away. Her daughter, Vanessa, also at 2 years old, lost a loving mother. And doesn't even remember her, but just a few little snippets of their life together. Erica Stamos, Paula's sister, my other daughter, has lost her best friend. And I speak for all of them that they absolutely do not want to see Mr. Cartwright have any leniency given towards him. He took away a grandmother, a mother, a sister, and a daughter, and she can never come back. And I don't see why Mr. Cartwright should come back either. As far as him not knowing why he committed the offense, if he doesn't know why, then who's to say that it'll happen again? He doesn't have any reason. So if he were paroled or given a release, which I hope never happens, who's to say the urge won't overtake him again? He won't know how to stop it because he didn't stop it before. We all loved Paula. She was a big part of my life and her sister's life, and for a very short time, her daughter's life. And we will never have the joy of holding her, kissing her, laughing with her, crying with her. We'll have none of that ever, ever again, and we haven't had it for many, many, many years, decades. And I plead with the board not to allow Mr. Cartwright to have this parole.
Thank you so very much for your statement this afternoon, and I know that board members heard you and that they will take it under consideration. Any questions, board members? I don't see any questions from board members. Is there any other victims, any victims present to speak on behalf of regarding this? No one else is present. So at this time, I'm going to yield to the honorable gentleman who comes so often from the county attorney's office. It's not that often that we have such a distinguished gentleman to come, so one of them is Elias. But do you want to tell the board this afternoon? So please identify yourself first, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Matthew Elias. I'm a deputy county attorney with the Maricopa County Attorney's Office. The Maricopa County Attorney's Office did submit a letter to the board on February 15th, 2019, in opposition to the parole request of Mr. Cartwright. The brutal and violent facts of this case, where a 20-year-old mother was brutally raped and murdered, are tragic and horrible. The randomness of this offense is also deeply concerning. And when Dr. Wright addressed Mr. Cartwright and asked him basically, why did this happen? What was the cause? What was going on with you? Mr. Cartwright replied that he had issues, but he couldn't explain to this board why this happened, why he picked a random 20-year-old woman's apartment to break into, to brutally rape her, and then murder her. And I would like to touch on something that the victim's mother said in her statement, which I think was very well put, that if he can't, even all these years later, say why this happened, what was the cause, what was the trigger, what were the events or the circumstances that led to this brutal attack happening, how can the community be sure that this is not going to happen again? And how can we be sure, and this board be sure, before voting for parole for Mr. Cartwright, that whatever caused this to happen back on December 8, 1984, won't happen again? Additionally, Mr. Cartwright did proceed to trial and was convicted by a jury and sentenced by a judge, not just to a life sentence for the crime of first-degree murder, but also a 21-year consecutive sentence for the crime of first-degree burglary and a 21-year consecutive sentence for the crime of sexual assault. I think the fact that, in addition to the life sentence, the judge in this case, after having an opportunity to preside over the trial, to hear all the testimony, to have the weight and the gravity of the evidence evaluated, decided to impose two consecutive 21-year sentences, speaks to the seriousness and the deep trouble that's caused by this case and the facts and the circumstances of what Mr. Cartwright did. So, based on the facts of the case, based on Mr. Cartwright's prior criminal history, the sentences imposed, and his disciplinary record in the Department of Corrections, the Maricopa County Attorney's Office would object to any parole to the next consecutive sentence and request another one-year set-off. Are there any questions that I can answer?
Questions? Mr. Weiss? Seem to be no questions. Thank you so very much for coming.
Thank you, members of the board.
To the board again today, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Rice.
Is there anyone else here to speak on to speak at all regarding Mr. Cartwright? I hear no one else. Mr. Cartwright, we're coming towards the end of your hearing, but this is your hearing. We want to give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board before the board goes into discussion and makes its determination, makes a decision. So at this time, we're prepared to listen to you, sir, Mr. Cartwright.
All I can say is, being in prison, you start to get a grip or an understanding of why you're here and what kind of person you might have been when you came. And if you got anybody in your family or in your life that you care about, you want to be a better person for them people. Yeah, so change happens. And I guess I'm saying, I guess we just address the purpose of why we're here. You know, to quickly, if there's been change, if there's any reason or possibility that there's a reason to consider parole, release, or a change. I don't disagree or try to disagree with what the family and the public prosecutor has to say, but 36 years, people change. I've changed. But I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be me regardless. All the things that I've learned from this, all the things that I've gone through, that's where we are.
Thank you so very much, sir, and thanks for your statement to the board. The question, Mr. Johnson has a question, I believe.
So I just really had a question. I thought maybe you would clarify it a little bit. But Dr. Wright asked you a question, reference you were taking responsibility for your actions. Now, is this the first time that you've taken responsibility for your actions, sir?
It's kind of hard to tell for you guys because basically, you know, I'm in prison I'm dealing with being in prison, so, you know, you don't advertise or come into prison being somebody who confesses. You know, so whereas I might not have been expressing regret or responsibility, from day one I knew what happened. I knew when I realized these things, I took responsibility then as far as accepting the fact that I had done something wrong. But now, for all these years of being in prison and several years of dealing with you people, I may not express that, but from day one, I understood that I was the one that was wrong.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Mr. Johnson. Any further questions or comments for board members at this time? Hearing none. Okay, sir. Was that your final statement before the board goes into discussion, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you, sir. At this time, the board is going into discussion. As you know, we operate under the open meeting laws of the state of Arizona. Therefore, we request that you stay on the phone so that you can hear everything that's being said. We do nothing behind closed doors. We don't have any discussion of any case, in your case, in this case, before we are sitting right here. And as you know, since for the 8 hearings that you had, there have been different board members. We haven't had all the same board members for these 8 hearings, this 9, including this 9th hearing. Therefore, we don't know. Therefore, one day it might be a different result, or even today it may be a different result. So now the board is going into discussion. I'm going to ask everyone to remain quiet as the board goes into discussion. I found Mr. Cartwright a very interesting gentleman. I've had the opportunity of talking with him. I think this is probably my 5th time, if I counted it correct, if I didn't miss any, since being on the board. Although very brief, I think that he opened up a little more this time than in the past, which I do appreciate. However, I'm still not totally satisfied with the fact that he just didn't tell the board, or maybe he's not prepared, or maybe he don't even know exactly what was in his mind, what was going on, why this crime took place, and what happened. We just don't know at this particular moment. And I think in order for a solution to be found, one has to know and admit what has happened. And he's admitted now what has happened, because when he did the pre-sentence report, he didn't even admit that he was, he said that he was not involved. And so he's made some progress since then. But he's still not quite there, in my opinion. And it's just as one board member, I'm not comfortable in moving his to his next consecutive sentence of absolute discharge, but I'm prepared to listen to other board members at this time. So where shall we start, board members? Mr. Kiwanis, you just start for us. I'll just go right on that in, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Board Chair. I think it is good to hear Mr. Cartwright taking responsibility for his actions, and he may be very well turned a corner, but upon reviewing the whole of the case, at least at this stage of his development in the Department of Corrections, I'm not finding him a suitable candidate for supervised release, and then I will just pass it off to my very good friend, Mr. Neal.
Honorable Mr. Neal.
I didn't have anything to add.
Oh, you didn't have anything to add. Okay, Honorable Mr. Neal, nothing to add. Okay, the Honorable Mr. Dale Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Dr. Wright. I agree. I think it was nice to hear. This is my second time meeting Mr. Cartwright. It is nice to hear him talk a little bit more about the crime, because I think last time he was very, very quiet. And so, and I'm glad to hear that he accepts responsibility. So that is a positive step in the right direction. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Honorable Mr. Johnson.
That's right. I agree with my colleagues.
Thank you so very much. Therefore, I'm going to move forward and prepare to offer a motion in view of the crime itself that took place, the nature of the crime. It took place back on December 8th, 1984, and the weapon that was used that involved both rape and murder, as well as this is previous record, especially as a juvenile, and really the age of the victim as well. I'm going to be prepared to offer a motion as it relates to Mr. Rodney Cartwright, ADC number 056237, and my motion is going to be to deny, move to his next consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. That is denied 412B or 411. And that is my motion at this time with a 1-year set off.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, C.T. Wright, seconded by the Honorable Mr. Neal, agreed by the Honorable Mr. Johnson, the Honorable Mr. Kalanis, and the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse with a 1-year set off. If there's no objection, the type of release is a 412B, 411. The reasons for denial today include, in addition to the ones that I've already mentioned, serious violent offense, the loss of human life, serious and deviant behavior, both rape and murder, trauma to the victim. Both of them, especially with the rape, I'm going to also include serious bodily injury. I'm also going to, and some may disagree with this, I'm going to include no family or community support being present today. I know he mentioned his mother and other members of his family, but I do not, none of them in the room with us at this particular time. Anything else that we ought to include at this time?
Dr. Wright, you did mark age of the victim, right?
I did not.
He was 20, only 20.
Age of the victim, thank you very much. And we want to let him know that it's not his fault. This one is not his fault, but I think that this is something that he really needs to look into. And that is a lack of programming, especially this sexual programming that's being offered. I think that would be very important, and so that he can get these triggers and everything. Anything else that any board member wishes to include? Hearing nothing else, you heard the vote of the board, Mr. Cartwright, and you heard the reason for the now. Do I need to explain anything else to you at this time, sir?
No, sir.
Okay, well, thank you for your participation. You will be certified by the Department of Correction in about a year from there. It won't be exactly the same day, but about a year from there, you will be certified by the Department of Correction to appear before this board again. Until then, we wish you the best. Thank you so much for your participation, and thanks for being so being so relaxed today as you spoke before the board. The board looks forward to seeing you in about a year from today. Thank you, sir, and please have a great, great day, sir. And please put the 03 back on the phone, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.